I see you believed me last week when I told you I was going to quit spoiling you to bring your Bibles with you. Romans chapter 8. I do have a little bit on the screen, but leave it open anyway. Romans chapter 8. Stand with me as we read this morning in reverence for God's Word, beginning in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. J. Vernon McGee says, this passage proves that Paul is a Southerner, and in particular from Texas. It begins by saying, for I reckon. And he said that means he's got to be from Texas to say, I reckon. Is that true, Chris? Is that some of you have been out that way? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the opportunity I have to stand and to preach your word. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would use me, use my thoughts, my words. God, that you would speak through me, that your purpose would be accomplished here today. God, that your word will be proclaimed in such a way, Lord, that hearts are challenged, Lord, that lives are changed. But most of all, if there's one that doesn't know Jesus Christ, God, that today would be the day, the hour that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we'll give you the honor for all that you accomplish here, for it's in Jesus' lovely name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I read this verse, I'm reminded, some of you, many of you will remember many years ago that Jason and Renee Brain used to keep a little girl a lot. They'd have her most every weekend, brought her to church a lot, little Nikki. And I probably shouldn't tell this, but anyway, the reason I shouldn't tell is because it's on me. And that's the, if it was on you, I wouldn't hesitate, but it's on me. If some of you will remember Nikki, I don't know at the time, maybe 3-4 years old, somewhere in that range. I don't know if she couldn't. I'm going to say she couldn't say preacher, is how I'm going to explain it. But she didn't call me the preacher. She called me the creature. And so that was how she addressed me. She called me the creature. And I think after a while she decided that folks liked that, and that got a laugh out of folks. And so she just kept on calling me the creature. Well, turnabout's fair play. I want you to know that in this passage of Scripture, no less than the Apostle Paul calls you the creature. Several times, in fact, if you read these verses, Paul talks about the creature. And if you're wondering what creature he's talking about, he's talking about you if you know Jesus Christ. He's calling you the creature. So before you start picking on me about being the creature, I will tell you, a 3-year-old called me the creature, but the Apostle Paul called you the creature. And so, but as he's talking about the creature here, he says some things that are interesting. As we look at this passage as part of the bigger story, the bigger letter that Paul writes to the church at Rome, Paul is dealing with an issue, I think, that all of us struggle with at times. Some of us more often, some of us at longer bouts. But life can be hard. Life has its battles, it has its issues, it has times when it is a struggle to get through life from day to day. And we have battles. And so Paul, I think, among other things, gives us some advice here in dealing with that. Paul talks about something here when he says, I reckon. That may become my favorite verse in the whole Bible. I reckon. And so as we look at that, Paul, what does Paul reckon? Paul says, you know what? I reckon that today's sufferings, that today's problems. One of the things I really like about what Paul says here, Paul doesn't say, grow up and get over it. Paul doesn't say you don't have problems. Paul doesn't say that life isn't hard. Paul doesn't say that sometimes your boss isn't hard to get along with. Paul doesn't say that some days you don't get bad news from the doctor. Paul doesn't say that some days our children don't give us grief. Paul says, I've looked at it. I have weighed some things out. What Paul says, basically, and some of you, depending on your age, you'll remember this better than others. The old-fashioned kind of scales where you take and you put so much on one side and so much on the other and kind of weigh those things out. Well, Paul basically says, here's what I've done. He says, I reckon. Now, I don't know what reckon necessarily means everywhere, but let me tell you what it meant to Paul. Let me tell you what it meant when Paul said this. Paul says, I have computed. I know that the word reckon doesn't sound like compute, but that's one of the definitions of the Greek word there. Reckon is the idea of compute. And so what Paul says, I have computed this thing. I have thought this thing through, and I have taken, he says there in verse 18, the sufferings of this present time. He says, I have taken all of the sufferings of this present time, and I have placed them on one side of the scale. I have put them there, and sure enough, when I put them there, boy, that scale bottomed out, because there's a lot of suffering in this world. There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of battles to be fought. And he said, I have put those there, and when I did, man, that scale just flopped right over. I think about how during Bible school, some of you remember a few weeks ago on Sunday morning, we took up as well as part of Bible school that offering, and how we've got that little scale built, and there's a blue bucket and a pink bucket. And during Bible school, the girls put their money in the pink bucket, and the boys put theirs in the blue bucket, and they come up, and while they're giving, they hold the scale still, so you can't tell who wins. And it seems like every night, when they get done, they take their hands off of the scale, and the pink bucket just... And the blue bucket goes flying. I mean, there's just no comparison. Well, Paul says, you know what? I have put the present suffering on this side of the scale. And when I did... It bottomed out. I mean, it just about turned the scale over. A lot of suffering. Paul, if you remember, at one point says, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've been imprisoned, I've been run out of town. Paul says, I put the present suffering on this side. Man, this scale is lopped over. But then he goes on and he says, but, he said, I came over here on this side. And on this side, he says, I put on it the glory that shall be revealed in us. He said, I put in the good side, the good things that God has done. And when I took that and I flopped that up on the scale, he said, when I put that up there, he said, this stuff over here that had the scale way down, when I put the good things of God, he said, the bad stuff went flying. He said, and he says, I reckon it can't even be compared. He said, man, I was going through a tough spell in my life. I'd been stoned, I'd been beat, I'd been shipwrecked, I'd been run out of town. And Paul says, you know what? I was groaning. I was having a battle of it. Paul makes it really clear. If you study the life of Paul, Paul doesn't pretend to be, super saint like sometimes we make him out to be. Paul gives you the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Paul will tell you, I've had some rough days. He said, I had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I've had my friends, those I thought would never desert me. He said, I've had them turn their back on me. He said, I've been through some battles. He said, and I put that on the scale. He said, but I reckon when I put the good things of God on this side, it doesn't even compare. And he says, I've gone from groaning to glory. I've gone from moaning to shouting. And this morning, I want you to see the two things. They're really simple that Paul shares with us that I think bring a different perspective on everything in our life. When we get these two and we get a grasp on what Paul says here, all of a sudden things around us, life begins to look a little bit different. I like them. How many of you remember? You don't hear much about them anymore, but you remember those blue blocker sunglasses they used to sell? Man, they advertise those. And you put them on and all of a sudden you're like, hey, that tree over there is yellow. You know, I mean, everything just looked different looking through those glasses. Everything was a different color. You looked over there and you said, I thought Archie's neck was red, but it's not. You know, it just kind of made everything look different and made everything look different. And that's what these two things that Paul shares with us, I think, does to life. When the battles of life, when the troubles of life come along, Paul says, you know what? Keep these two things in mind and life looks different. What's he talk about here when he says, first of all, in verse 18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature. There you are again. The earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's he talking about? Paul, I don't know if you know this, and I don't mean to those of you who know me know I love the Word of God, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Paul can make a short story long. Paul can drag something out and make it a little bit complicated to follow some of this. What is Paul simply saying in this verse? Paul is saying, when I look at the problems of life, they don't compare when I consider my future. When I consider the future that God has planned for me, my future has been secured. When we look at this passage and understand what Paul is saying, Paul says, you know what? Look at life through this lens, through the future that has been secured. Think about what Paul is saying here, what Paul is reminding us of. And if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've accepted Christ, you have this promise. Unfortunately, let me just go ahead and begin the part of the invitation right now. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never asked Him into your life, you don't have a personal relationship with Him, these two things don't work for you. They don't apply to you because they are the gift, they are the presentation, one of the benefit of knowing Christ as your Savior. And so today I would begin right now urging you to seriously consider before you leave this place of becoming a Christian, knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you can have a secure future as well. Paul says in this passage, he says, you know what, when I look at this life, when I look at the suffering of this world, when I look at the problems of this world, he says, you know what? I look at all those things. He says, you know what? They may get me down, but I am stunned and I am stirred when I think about my future that is secure. He says, when I look at what God has planned for me, when I begin to consider what God has shown me, when I begin to consider all the things that God has in store for me, a future that puts all suffering and death and bondage aside. The Bible tells us in Revelation, he's talking about a place with no more tears and no more suffering and no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. He says that when I think about that future, I think about what I'm going through now, and now is nothing. Yeah, I give you a real pitiful comparison. I understand this is a really, really pitiful comparison to the glories of heaven. But some of you have been here, you can identify this with me. You've worked all year long. You've worked since last fall, and you've been in that slave factory, and you've been in there, you've been going through the battles, you've been suffering, you've been putting up with a cranky boss and inconsiderate customers and backstabbing co-workers, and you just, man, you can sit on the curb and dangle your feet. You just couldn't get much lower. But up in front, you see here very shortly, vacation's coming. You know what I'm talking about? And you think, I can make it through this week. I can make it two more weeks because vacation's coming. Some of you, let me put it even in a better light for a few of you. You struggling, you stumbling, you battling, but I see retirement just over the horizon. I see horizon just over the horizon. I worked for a crazy man one time. That's the only way I know to describe him. Crazy man. And I never will forget it worked out one time where I had vacation one week and he had vacation the next week. Back to back. And I remember that Saturday when I walked out, I said, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Man, that felt good. It felt so good, I turned around, walked back and said it again. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Boy, that felt good. You know what Paul is saying? Paul says, you know what? You may beat me, you may whip me, you may throw me in jail, you may stone me, you may run me out of town, you may hate me, you may turn your back on me, but my Father loves me and He has a future prepared for me that no matter what you do, it doesn't compare to what I have in store, what my Father has in store for me, what my Father has. He says, rather than be weighed down, rather than be burdened by all the sufferings and the problems of this world, He says, I'm going to live a hope-filled life based on a secure future. Have you ever thought about this, that the worst thing the world can do to you is the best thing the world could do for you? The worst thing the world could do to you is to kill you. And if you're a child of God, that is the best thing they could do for you. You know, I think one of my sayings that I don't know where I heard it the first time, but I thought about it, and it just so part of it is really painful, part of it is glorious, is that that this world is as good as it gets for a lost man, and this world is bad as it gets for a Christian. Now, I really hate half of that statement because I have friends and loved ones, I have people, acquaintances, folks I know who fall into that group who this world's as good as it's going to get for them because they don't know Christ. But for the child of God, this world is as bad as it gets. And I've told y'all, I'm having a blast. I really am. Yeah, I know this world's got problems. I know this world's got issues. I've got problems. I've got things in my life, that bother me. But you know what? I look like the old song says, I see trees of green and skies of blue. What a wonderful world. I've told you, some of y'all think I'm playing. It is my ambition. It is my goal in life to live this life to its fullest. I don't want one of you to be able to come by my casket and walk by and go, he looks good. In fact, my goal is to none of y'all come by my casket, if you want the truth. I'm going to come by yours. But I've told you, and I mean it with all my heart, I want you to come by my casket and go, good grief. What happened to him? Man, he is used up. Listen, if God's got it on this earth, I want to enjoy it. We sing sometimes, this is my Father's world. I want to enjoy the things that God has created. I want to live a happy life. Matter of fact, my real goal is not to even have a casket. My real goal is to tie flying on my own. I like the story about a little boy. Man went walking down the street and saw a little boy out front jumping. And he said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking rapture practice. That's my goal. Listen, y'all had the funeral home. Paul says, I have a secure future. I have a future where there's no more pain, no more death. I remind old Jeff Hartzell. I remind, these guys. I remind Witt every now and then. You know what? Y'all going to have to find a new way of living in a few more years. You're going to have to find a new way of working. Because there's not going to be no funeral homes where I'm going. Man. Doctor's going to be out of work. Paul says, my future is secure. And I reckon, I love that, I reckon that what I'm dealing with now doesn't even compare. I really don't believe there's anybody sitting in heaven right now going, man, back in 1972, boy, I had a really rough year and it was just so bad. Oh, I won't ever. No, I don't think there's anybody. I remember back when I broke my leg. I don't think that. You know how we are now. Somebody says I broke my leg. Somebody else says I broke every bone in my body. Everybody, they got to top your illness. That's the way it works. Nobody in heaven sitting around comparing blisters and calluses and broke bones and scars. They're not looking back on the troubles of this world. They're not remembering being broke. They're not remembering. They're running around worshiping our Father. Amen. Paul says, I've got a future that is secure. Paul says, I've got a future. This world's tough. I like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says there, chapter 4 verse 17, if you want to look there, he says this, for our light affliction. Now, I like this coming from a man that ended up being executed for his faith. I like this from a man who every time you turned around was being locked up, beaten, shipwrecked, abandoned, backstabbed, something. He says, our light affliction. My light affliction. How many of you think of your affliction as light? Yeah, most of us don't. We think our affliction is the worst that's ever happened to anybody. Paul says, get in line. But he says, for my light affliction, which is but for a moment. I like that. Our affliction that is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know what Paul says? Think what he just said. He said, our affliction is light, but our glory is overweight. That's what he said. He said, our light affliction works for us the weight of glory. Think about that. We begin to look at things that way. We put on those lens. We put on those glasses. And we look at things that way. That no matter what this world does to me, no matter what this world takes from me, there's one thing they can never do. They can never rob me of my secure future. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you don't have a big enough eraser to get it out of there. My secure future. Not only my future is secure, second thing Paul says that changes our life, changes our perspective, is not only a future that is secure, but a freedom that is supplied. Look what he says in the next two verses of our text this morning. When he says there, he talks about our bondage being lifted. He talks about how we have this freedom that is supplied. When he says there, he calls it a glorious liberty. A glorious liberty. Think about that. What if all of a sudden we begin to look at life with the perspective, our future that is secure, and the liberty that we enjoy? You know, we've just came through Independence Week, July the 4th week here in America. And you know, as Americans, we tend to look at life through the lens of our national freedom. You know, we look at life that way. That's the way we act. That's the way we handle our life. We look at things through the lens of our freedom. I think about, some of you remember, some of you have heard me tell this story about when Martin was here 10 years or so ago now from South Africa. I remember talking about we were going to take him up to the Cove, up towards Asheville, Billy Graham Center. And he says, "Well, I need my passport." "For what?" "Well, we're going across, you know, traveling. Do I need my..." "For what?" He said, "Well, at home I have to have my papers to travel." I said, "Well, here we get in the car and we go." Yeah. Yeah. Never crossed my mind that I would need a passport to drive to Asheville. Yeah. Never even crossed my mind that I would need somebody to sign off on me taking a trip to Asheville. I remember seeing that when we were in China. I can't remember now what they called it, but they had a little blue book that they carried with them everywhere. And pretty much everywhere they went, they'd pass a place, they had to pull out that little blue book and show who they were, and sometimes they did different things. So they had to have that paperwork to be able to move around. You know, we look at things in a different lens than that. You know, somebody tells us, "You can't go to Charlotte." "Well, I'll show you. You know, it's a free country. You know, let me check my gasket." "Yeah, I can go." You know. That's the way we look at things. We look at things through our national liberty. "You can't tell me what to do. This is a free country." How many of you ever heard somebody say that? Let's be honest. How many of you, it was you that said it? Yeah. "You can't tell me what to do. This is a free country." We look at things as Americans through the eyes of our liberty. Paul says, "I choose to look at life through the eyes of the glorious liberty given to me by Jesus Christ. I choose to look at life through the liberty that was provided to me by Jesus Christ at Calvary. The freedom that He provides that only comes in Jesus Christ. Free from the guilt of sin. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Jesus took my place on the cross, and because of that, I don't have to worry about the bondage, the penalty, the guilt of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would be on the executioner's line. But because Jesus Christ came to this earth and hung on a cross and shed His blood for me, I am free from the penalty of sin. Amen. And I'm going to live my life that way. I don't know, how many of you have ever worked with someone who was related to the boss man? That's no fun, is it? They sent me one time whose daddy was the general sales manager at our Florence bakery. Boy was about as sorry as water. He wasn't worth the powder it'd take to blow him off the face of this earth. If y'all don't know me by now, you just learned a little. I'm just telling you the truth. He wasn't worth killing. The bad thing, just so you know, he left Marita and went to work for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Sheriff's Deputy Department. I don't know what good he is over there. Give him a gun. He was dangerous with a loaf of bread, and then they give him a gun. But you know what? I knew to a certain extent my hands were tied. I knew I had to put up with some of his junk. I just knew that if I made life hard enough, he'd find somewhere else to work. Listen, you know what? I'm going to go through life. I've decided I'm going to go through life like Paul. This is my Father's world. You know, too many of us as Christians are going through life acting like the devil's in charge. The Bible says, oh, he's the prince and the power of the air. But I don't know about you. I've never lived in England, but I know this. The prince answers to the king. And he may be the prince, but my Father is the king. And Paul says, I'm going to live my life through the lens of the liberty that has been supplied to me. I don't have to go through this world ashamed. I don't have to go through this world hiding. I can go through this life free from the fear of death. I'm not signing up. I don't want to go today. I've told you, I don't want to go at all. I want to leave this earth at the sound of the trumpet. I want to leave this. I've been to enough funerals. I don't need to go to another one. I've never been to a rapture. I want to go to one. I've been part of enough funerals in my lifetime. I want to be part of one rapture. I'm not scared of heights. I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing those eastern skies split and that trumpet sound. That's what I'm looking for. But I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't want to die, but I don't have to be afraid of death. I've shared with y'all before, and one of the most assuring, and part of it is you'd have to know him to really appreciate it. I remember my grandfather laying up here in this hospital looking at us and saying, I'm not scared of death, but this dying's no fun. I believe him, so I don't want to try out dying, but I am not afraid of death. And a Christian, you don't have to be. Listen, that doesn't mean you go out and jump off the steeple. That doesn't mean you drive down the road at 1,000 miles an hour. But it means, like those saints of old, you can stand in the Colosseum, and when they say you deny Jesus or we turn the lions loose, you say, open the gate and let them out. Because the worst you can do to me is the best you can do for me. You can be like Polycarp, who stood at the stake when they took him out to burn him at the stake, and they got ready to tie him to the stake. And he said, you don't need to tie me here. He said, my Lord, my Jesus has never abandoned me, never failed me. How could I abandon him now? He didn't want to die, but he wasn't afraid of death. Listen, that's the liberty a believer has. That's the liberty that a child of God can enjoy, because Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he took the sting of death. Oh, remember what David called death? He called death in the 23rd Psalm, what he called it? He called it a shadow. And I love what Kenneth Rodney said. I mean, he said, a shadow of a knife can't stab me, and a shadow of a gun can't shoot me, and the shadow of death doesn't scare me. Listen, I can live my life with the freedom that he has supplied. Back up in Romans chapter 8. I told you to keep your Bibles open. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see what Paul said as he opens this chapter up in this part of the letter. He says there in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know what no means in the Greek? No. Y'all getting good at that. It means no. That means some. Doesn't mean a little. He says there is no condemnation. None. Zero. Zilch. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. There is no condemnation. See, here's what I know. If I had to stand before God on my own, if I had to go before Him and he would say, who are you? And I'd tell Him, James Barrett. I have to use my legal name in those situations. He'd say, bring me the book. Bring me the bees. And they'd look over there and they'd say, the bees are broken up in several books, Lord. There's too much in them books. And I'd say, well, bring me the bats. There's too many of them, Lord. You're going to have to be more specific. And say, well, bring me this boy's book. He'd come out, and I can just see him now. He'd come lugging out. He'd look about like this right here. I forgot this was down here. I can see him now. He'd come out and say, here's his book. The Lord is saying, is that the Reader's Digest condensed version? They say, yes, that's the first volume of three. You know, that's what they'd say. I said, let's see what you did in your life. He'd just keep turning pages. He'd just keep turning pages. Bring me volume number 2, 3, and just keep digging them up. He'd just keep bringing out book after book after book. And I just keep hanging. They'd eventually come to a point. Matter of fact, I got to be honest with you. As soon as he said, go get the book, I'd just turn around and leave. Because I know most of what's in that book. I'll be honest with you. Y'all can sit there and look all holy and justified if you want to. I'm being honest this morning. I know about my book. I know what my book could look like. I can just see them now bringing out my book, and the Lord looking and say, the rest of y'all just sit down. It's going to take a while. You know, I know what my book would look like. But here's what I know. When they call for my book, Jesus is going to say, hang on, I got one for you. And he's going to hand the Lord his book. And he's going to open it up, and every page is going to be blank. Because the Bible says he casts my sin as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He's going to say he purged me. He washed me white as snow. Amen. And I can stand before him, the Bible says not clothed in my righteousness. Because he says my righteousness is as filthy rags. But clothed in the righteousness of his precious son. And when he looks at my book, he says, it's clean. Come on in. Your future is secured. Your freedom has been supplied. Amen. And Satan's going to go stomping off going, lost another one. Lost another one. What would happen if we begin to look at life through that lens? What would happen if we begin to look at our world through that perspective? That Paul says, I reckon that nothing in this world can compare to what my Father has in store. And I'm going to live my life with a secure future and a liberty that has been supplied. What the Spirit has set free is free indeed. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. If you're sitting here today and you'd say, Jimmy, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. But I also know that sometimes I get more attuned, more focused on this world than I do my Father. And this morning I need to come and I want to deal and I want to ask God to help me to focus. To help me to keep my perspective on my secure future and my freedom that has been supplied. That glorious liberty that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. You want to come and just say, Lord, help me to keep my eyes on that. Some of you may need to come and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for a future. I know that I know that if I was left to my own devices, my future would be deep and dark. But because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I've got a future that is secure. You just want to come and you want to thank him. I want to thank you for my liberty, the freedom from the guilt and the penalty of sin. I want to thank you. But most importantly, you're here today and you say, Jimmy, I need to know. I need in my life that future, that secure future. Oh, I'm a good person. I give to the church. I come to church. I'm here today. But I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so I need to come this morning and I want to kneel and I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and set me free. I want Him to come and give me liberty. I want Him to come into my life and give me a future that is secure. I need Jesus. Whatever God lays on your heart as we stand together.